Gather up your meeples. It's time for the Boarding Party Podcast, brought to you by the Superiority Complex. Welcome to the Boarding Party, your new favorite podcast about board games. I feel good today, guys. Welcome. We have the nice thing about doing this podcast every 2 weeks is we have a lot of games to talk about that we played. So what did we play 2 weeks ago?
We played Shiba Inu House.
Well, that was last week.
2 weeks ago we played?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there.
We were at that small table. What did we play? Oh, we played that stained glass window game.
Yes.
Oh,
Sagrada.
That was beautiful.
That's a great game.
Why don't you guys give us your review of Sagrada?
Only one.
Jake and Justine.
We cheated a few times.
We did not cheat.
No. Yes, we did.
Justine probably cheated.
Several times.
Because she doesn't listen to the rules.
It's the touching of the dice. That's when we played with our new friends, Dan and
Crystal. Dan and Crystal. Shout out to them. They probably don't listen, but shout out to them anyway. And that was fun. It was nice because that's a group that we see at our board game nights, and they always seem to like wave and be friendly. So we said, let's...
People?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're super nice.
Yeah.
We played with them.
We should play with them more.
Yeah, they were really cool. It was a lot of fun.
It was
a good melding of groups. So you guys got your first try at Sagrada. So let's talk about it.
Oh, it's beautiful because the pieces fall into place on the board. You get your own little board, a ton of dice.
It's like Sudoku meets colors,
okay.
I guess is the best way to describe
it. Sudoku kind of meets Yahtzee.
Meets Yahtzee meets colors. So you roll dice and you have to get your dice in a certain order. And you can't have colors next to each other. They can be diagonal, but they can't be vertical or horizontal. Oh. And you can't have the same number in row or column like Sudoku. And you're building basically a stained glass
It is the designer is Adrian Adamescu.
Is it a time thing?
Huh?
Is it a timed thing or is it?
No, it's turn based, so you have only a certain amount of turns.
And you have the same. Everybody's working from the same pool of dice. So if Patrick takes yours and you have something you're about to line up on the board, and Patrick takes your dice,
which he would,
you're hosed.
You gotta wait.
I like that you can choose your difficulty.
Yeah, so you get a card, and on the front it's got double-sided, and one side's easier, the other side's more difficult. So there's different levels of difficulty, which is really cool. So it limits you, like you have to put a certain dice in this spot, so either color or number, which is really cool. But
what did you think? Justine loved it, just the aesthetics of it.
Dice. Oh, as soon as you took out all the dice.
She's a dice roller.
The second you bring out any dice, say, I want to play. Yeah. Always.
And you get to take a ton of them. I think we had like 9.
Yeah, and they're translucent, and they look like little bits of glass.
So you had a special dice?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that sucks is you roll it once, and then everyone has to play off of that dice.
So bad rolls, you get blamed.
Yeah, exactly. If you had bad numbers or not enough variety and color.
I'm going to have to roll that dice.
What are you doing? What do you mean? You're going to have to roll that dice? What does that mean?
There's a special die. I'm going to have to roll that one.
No, I meant it was deformed.
It's deformed?
Yeah.
What?
It looked weird. It was weird.
He's got a
like, you almost wanted
dice.
To like, ask it's him a two, for a new one.
It's a two that almost looks like a three.
Yeah. It's questionable.
Don't roll that dice.
Yeah, I'll roll it. I'll roll it.
That's going to be your one?
That's the sound of a desperate man.
All right, here we go. Sagrada was designed by Adrian Adamescu and Daryl Andrews.
Bless you.
The artist was Peter Walken, and it is published by Floodgate Games. I love it.
Yeah.
It's a great – I would put this up there with Ticket to Ride as something that you could teach non-gamers.
Yeah.
And they would learn in a second. It takes maybe like one playthrough to get the it's really easy to explain.
Yeah.
And really easy to pick up and learn.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of strategy.
Yes, and it's a lot of it too is like mapping out your path and sticking to it,
mm-hmm.
and really staying focused. It's like when we played that archaeology game where you're building your path.
Oh, where you're trying to get to the temples?
Exactly. Okay. You have to map out your strategy
Kanuba.
Ahead of time to like be successful in this game, which is really cool because it's like you're keeping a formulated plan in your head.
You're playing with people, but you're also playing
against.
So I always forget the name of that archaeology game.
I do too.
Karuba?
You said it was Karuba.
No, it's not Karuba.
So we played that.
Or maybe it is Karuba.
It is Karuba. I always say Kanuba.
Kanuba?
Kanuba.
And that's the wax you get when you go to
Bermuda,
Kanuba wax.
Bahama. No, we're not doing that.
Okay. Where'd you get that fan? Why are you playing with it?
It's Justine's fan because she's Asian. She always has one in her car.
That's nice.
It's hot out, so, you know.
Oh, I like that it has polar bears on it to,
it's, you know,
to invoke the feelings of mind. Of
got it from Daiso.
And it makes me feel dainty.
Have you been to a Daiso?
No, what's Daiso?
It's an Asian dollar store.
It's a Japanese, yeah, like a dollar store, but Japanese.
Where's this?
But they're like $1.50 or $2 up.
It's there's one in Roland Heights right by the ramen.
I got to go to this place. Is it awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're opening it up everywhere.
Yeah, they're really nice.
They're just popping up.
It's probably, you search one, there's probably one close by.
I'm gonna D-A-I-S-O.
So we played Sagrado, which was fantastic.
Yep.
And then we also played, since it was just the three of us for the most of the evening until Ed showed up, we played Kodama.
Yes, Kodama, the tree spirits.
Which was another really, really pretty game.
Gorgeous. You got a tree. You start off with the tree, and then you add the branches to it. I love the branches.
So anyways, the whole point of the game is you are trying to make a tree, and you start out with a base, and you have Kodama spirits that do certain effects. So there's different markers on each card, like fireflies, flowers, stars.
But you have your own mission that you have to do.
And you're growing your tree, and you get points based off of your Kodamas, which give you different, like, you know, if you get points for the most stars on your tree.
Okay.
So, and you get a spring, summer, fall Kodamas, and then you have,
You play through rounds, and you put so many branches down per round, and there's rules for placement, like, the cards can't overlap. All the branches are on cards. Cards can't overlap. They can't hang down below your branch. So you put your branch, you put your trunk at the edge of the table, and the branches can't go off of the edge of the table. And so there's rules for placement, so you can only go so far. Now, when you play in a four-player game, it's nice because you have like a nice little
forest,
like a nice little reasonable-sized tree. When I played with my wife, and it's just two players, the branches get longer and longer and longer because you're drawing all of those cards. So. They get pretty big. They get big really quickly, but it's a really nice, beautiful looking game, and it's a very mellow.
Justine liked it so much, I bought it for her.
Did you? And you? And the art is great. The art is actually the designer is Daniel Solis. The artists are Scott Hartman and I am gonna mangle this name, Quan Chai Moria. Moria. The Mines of Moria. See, I knew he was going to do it. So,
it's Sean Connery.
Yeah. And it is published by, here in the United States, I think it's Indie Board Boards and Cards. It's a really cute little game. Really.
And it's fun. It's easy to pick up. We had a little bit of trouble with like turn order and stuff like that, like figuring out exactly which way you go across. But once you got started, it was great.
Was that the game that we were playing from? We were trying to figure out?
No, that was Honshu.
Which we'll talk about
next. Honshu I love. Me and my wife played it correctly, and it's awesome. We were playing it completely wrong.
Incorrectly, yeah. I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, Honshu
won that one.
Honshu is a game where you're basically building a town. It's in the, let's see, I think it takes place in the Edo period of Japan. But you're building a little town, you're building a little municipality, and you get points for...
They have a copy
the
of
place. Do they really?
Yeah.
They have. So we have a copy here at Undercity Comics. So go check it out. You can buy it here at Undercity. Honshu is published by, here in the States. It's weird not having a computer in here.
It's one of those games that's not very easy to understand from the get-go. The rules are a little intense.
BlackRock Games here in the United States. The designer is Kale Malmioja. Artists are Asi Hiakala and Jerry... Oh, no, it's J-E-R-E. Chair? Kasanen. it is fun. It's supposed to be a trick-taking game because all of the cards have little pieces of the town you're trying to build, and they are ranked. They're ranked in order. So the person who puts... the highest card down, and this is what we were missing, gets to pick their card first. So that's where the turn order comes in. So you get to take whatever card. You might not want to necessarily play the card you just put down. Someone else could have something better because in this game it's all about placement. And there are six tiles on each card. You could have parts of a town. You can have parts of a lake. You can have desert. You can have forest. And they're all worth different points depending on how you lay them out. So it's really, really cool. It's a little town building. And by the end of the the round, and it's very quick. What is it, 12 rounds?
Yeah, it was super quick.
It's super quick because it's just drawing. It's just bidding and then taking the cards, placing them, and then going around and around and around. It's really, really fun. We played it incorrectly, but when my wife and I played, it was a lot of fun. There's a lot of strategy. So we'll have to try it again. There was one important – I should not try to read instructions and then play them on the same night. That's always my problem.
Unless it's like a super simple game.
Yeah, yeah. That had a little bit more meat to it. But it was a good little strategy game.
It was beefy.
But I like games like that, like Sagrada, like Kodama. Those are all games where you're playing with each other, but you're really like – you're really focused on what you're doing.
Yes.
You're not moving pieces around a board or anything like that. And I kind of like those games.
And again, it's the same thing that, you know, you're formulating your strategy in your head as you go along.
Yeah.
Like you kind of map – you look at your cards and you kind of map out what you have and you work from that. And you kind of see your city forming in your mind and you're trying to strategize to get your tiles in place as quickly as possible.
Now, Nat, last week when Jake joined us,
finally,
we got to play – Shiba Inu House, which is a speed slash sort of dexterity game. More speed. What did you guys think?
That got my heart racing, though. Because right in the very beginning, you were like, okay, and then you go. And it was just...
So Shiba Inu House, everybody gets a deck of cards with... They get the same starting hand of cards. They're double-sided. They have different dogs and different poses on them on different colored rooftops. And you get there's another deck of cards you get. Those are the only cards you're going to use because on the bottom of each card are different color patterns in the corners. And so what you're going to do is everybody's going to flip over a different card in front of them. You deal out these cards. And they're going to have a pattern of what each player needs to design with their cards. And they're all little doghouses. And in round one, you build one doghouse. In round two, you build two. And in round three, you build three using the 9 cards that you have. So you can put those cards down any way you want. But everyone is going to have a different design that they're going to be working on, whatever, depending on what card they were given at the start of the round. And it's whoever gets it the fastest gets the biggest. You get to grab the – there's a bunch of cards laid out, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, depending how many players you are. One, of course, gets the highest amount of reward. Two gets the second, third, fourth. And you're trying to get as many coins for building the houses as possible. Shiba Inu House was designed by Aza Chen. And he or she was also the artist, published by Renegade Games here in the United States. So you said it was stressful.
Just the first round.
And then after that?
After that, it was fun.
What about you, Patrick?
I didn't play it. Remember, you and I were setting up that.
Oh, we were setting up Samurai Spirit.
Which I love.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that right now. Jake, what did you think?
I did play it. I don't know. I'm not always a huge fan of those games because I'm not particularly good at...
Timed?
Well, it's because you have 9 different cards that are double-sided, and then you're trying to discern which cards to place where, and I'm not usually super good at those games.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was cool, but yeah, I'm just not a huge fan of this.
He doesn't like to play it because he's not good.
No.
Well, you have that same problem, Machikoro.
Same exact problem.
Yeah, see?
Machikoro, you know, I won.
But you hate it.
Yeah, but that's just because I hate it. I still can win.
Thought it was fun because you can compete, but it went with time, which
yes.
made it
It's good
a
for
lot
new players,
fun.
For sure.
Yeah,
I would say.
It just wasn't your bag.
It's not my thing.
It's not something I would buy, though.
Yeah.
But you're glad I have it.
But I would be happy to play it.
Okay.
But if I owned it, I don't think I'd play with it that
I long. Feel like that's a good tiebreaker. If whoever has our statue, please bring that back because we haven't
Making
been playing
a new
for
one.
It. We've lost our competitive edge at Board Game Night, which is really...
There's no competitiveness anymore. I don't like it.
Street cred.
Yeah, I'm making a more small, compact
New
statue
one.
That we can...
Is that
Are
a
you?
Mushroom?
Are you working on it?
I am working on it.
Is it a mushroom?
Well, hurry
no.
up.
It's a sculpture of a comic book character.
Which one?
A lesser known but well-loved one.
Oh, okay.
Squirrel Girl.
No.
okay, Hawk and Man. Then last week we played an oldie but a goodie.
That's an old game, really?
It is an older game. It's a game, not old, it's a couple years old. it is a game that I've tried to bring to game night repeatedly, and we are a game group, well, I love them, but we are a game group that doesn't really play a lot of co-op games.
No.
And even in this game, there was a little bit of screwing over. So, somehow,
figured out that it's a good idea to screw your friends.
This is a game called Samurai Spirit. It is based on the Seven Samurai, and it is published. I know that one of the designers is Anton Bauza. It is Anton Bauza. Anton Bauza. And the artist is Victor Perez Corbella. Published by Funforge Game here in the United States. It is a co-op where you each take on the role of a samurai, battling groups of raiders who are trying to attack a village. And every time they attack, a little piece of the village gets taken away. Maybe a barricade or a farm gets burned to the ground or a peasant gets killed. And the fun of the game is really, it's almost like blackjack.
Yeah.
Because your board has two sides to it. You can defend or you can fight. And you have to fight enough samurai to unlock your special power, which means you can basically wipe one of those guys out. But if your number gets too high, each of the raiders has a number. And if the number gets too high, you basically bust and then you lose a turn.
You go night-night.
So it's all about managing the cards you have in the cards that you're dealt. And when you see the person in front of you get a one and you need a two or less, and then you grab a four, it's really easy to get mad at your compatriots. But what did you guys think of this game?
That was by far the best streak I have ever been on. The end of that game, no one was paying attention except you and I, Mario.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just – I was just wrecked.
You deleted the deck without – I can't believe it.
I had one card left and I lost on the last card.
Yeah. It was great.
I was so close. We almost won.
What did you think of it? I looked at Justine and Justine did not look like she was having
fun. Well,
there
was a lot of sitting out. I think that's what happened to me. I busted.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's because you're –
well, I mean, if you're not good at it, if you don't try.
And then
try,
we just sat out. And we had the sixes and the fives out.
That's when things get intense.
It took me out of the game. I think I did one or two rounds, and that was it.
Well, so what happens is if you decide to defend, you move the raiders over to the defend side, and their numbers don't count. But you have to have one. There are three symbols. So there's the farm, there's the peasant, and then there's the little hat, I think, on there. So you have to at the end of the round, you have to be defending one of each suit, one of each type. You have to have one. Otherwise, for every one you don't defend, you're missing, the village takes a penalty. Or do you get a wound? I don't remember.
If you don't have the hat, you take a wound, and then the other ones you start losing parts of the village.
Yeah. So there's ways to get wounds, and you only have four hit points, or four or five, depending. I know it's four.
No, it's four.
Everybody only gets four. So your first instinct is always to, I've got to fill up the defense side if you get a hat. Nope. But if you get a hat that's a two, it's much better to wait and try to get a hat that's a six. But if you don't get it, then you're running the risk of getting. So it's really everybody's trying to manage their hands as best as possible.
It's a pressure luck game.
It is. It is kind of a pressure luck game. Do I wait? Do I put this card down now? Or do I put it on the raider side where I have nine hit points left and wait to see if I can get a higher number with a hat on it so I don't take this wound?
Patrick likes a pressure luck game. I just realized that right now.
Don't tell him.
Yeah, you do.
He does.
It's a dirty secret. I just liked it because I went out swinging and I tried to take as many people.
It was good. You were on a run and I thought you were going to do it and the last card came up and got you. It was a six.
Yeah. It just... I think it was over by one or two.
It was great. You went on a streak. But that was a fun... I love that game.
It's fantastic.
And I've usually only played it with a couple players. It was fun to play it with a full complement of players.
And the artwork was great, too.
Yes.
I like it a lot.
It's based on this. All the characters are named from the characters in the Seven Samurai.
I would like to try it on the harder difficulty where the other two characters that we played were actually useful.
Well, here's what we're going to do next time because we all know how to play it. Uh-huh. Now we'll play it at the hero level, which means every raider causes damage. So can you imagine if we skipped all that damage because we played on the easy level? We played on a novice level.
So the characters we played where we ignore those abilities on even or odds, it will actually be useful now.
Will actually be useful.
That's good.
I love it, though. I want to play that again.
I think I got a six and a five, but I had no symbol, so I couldn't even use it to defend. That game took me out immediately. I sat there next to Emma. We were both out.
Sometimes it's the luck of the draw.
Yeah. It was bad.
All the ladies went out in that one.
It was fast.
We played True to Feudal Japan.
That game is sexist.
I loved it, though. I love that game. We'll play it again, for sure.
We will.
Well, aside from Sagrada, all of the games we played had an Asian theme.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for the Japanese/Asian theme. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I love the artwork. I love all those games. Fantastic. What?
I was going to make a bad pun, but I realized we're not on the superior.
Yeah, yeah. We don't do that here. This is a family show. So we're doing a shorter show than usual this because of scheduling conflicts. I scheduled some stuff and then I showed up late like a big jerk.
Yep.
But I wanted to do a real quick run through of we had a topic that we were originally going to talk about, but I think it needs a little bit more
work.
A little bit more work. So I just want to ask you guys off the top of your head. Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of prepped it before, but what is a theme you guys think is overdone in modern board gaming? Like what is a theme that you see that you're like, I could do with about 20 less of these games? Does anybody want to start?
I'll start.
What do you got?
Cute games.
Whoa. Yeah. No.
No, like Shiba Inu, like that style, that look, it's just overdone. I see it everywhere, and it's just like, ugh.
You think over...
Is it a blender?
It's appealing to, you know, it appeals to a broader audience, which, you know, is cool, and
he's
I think that's a great way to get people in, but
a big W on that
personally, I don't like them.
Yeah.
They're too cute and kitschy, and I'd rather play something...
What's a cute game?
I disagree.
Takenoko?
You
don't like Takenoko?
Yeah.
Takenoko's a cute game that Justine doesn't even like.
Like Get Bit. That's a cute game.
I love Get Bit.
Is Dixit a cute game?
No.
It's more abstract.
Yeah. I'm talking like simple images, you know.
Cute fuzzy kittens on a card that you throw into a blender.
Exactly.
What about...
That's a good game, though.
Yeah, what about Kodama's cute? You like that?
It's more detailed. It's more intricate versus the other ones where they're fairly simple. I don't know. I'm just crazy. But cute games are out for me.
Jake, what do you got? mine's a tie.
It's kind of hard for me because I'm like, as long as the game's good, I don't care if they have like a repetitive theme that goes through. I do see a lot of sci-fi and that maybe they should try to go with a different sort
of
theme
with
that.
Appeal to nerds or something.
I know. No, but it's just I would probably say there's just like an endless stream of sci-fi games that maybe someone should try to.
I would say for me, it's either zombies or Cthulhu.
Yeah,
our way. There's a lot. There's a lot of like we played Zombicide. It was great, but there's like 50 Zombicide knockoffs.
Coming out with the new one too.
Yeah,
but that just went with the whole zombie craze with Walking Dead and the kind of
yeah.
I thought you were going to say like Sherlock Holmes games. You're over those.
There's not enough.
There's never enough.
There's never enough of those. Are you kidding me?
Perlock Holmes?
It was a joke.
Perlock Holmes.
No, it wasn't Perlock Holmes. It's
It's Perlock Holmes. And he's fighting Furiarty.
Oh, Furiarty, yeah.
It's Perlock Holmes. We got Watson and Holmes, Holmes and Watson.
Sherlock.
Mycroft and Sherlock. Sherlock Holmes, Consulting Detective.
Quite a few.
I want to play that one again.
That was a good one. Mr. Jack.
That'd be a...
Mrs. Jack.
No, I was thinking you could do that on a podcast.
Blackjack?
Mrs. Dash?
Do, like, Consulting Detective, if you read everything out loud.
We could.
That'd be kind of fun on a podcast.
I'd want to bring a professional voice actor in, though.
Yeah.
Not me reading.
No.
I'm a terrible reader.
Hey, I'll read for you. It's fine. It's good.
I said professional.
Professional, yes. Thank you.
All right, now. What do you got, Justine? Well, you don't think there's any themes that are overdone?
There are some games, but it's not a theme for me. It's just, well, I guess it's a theme of the way the games are played, but I can't think of
what
it is.
That's not a theme.
It's whenever we play it, I'm like, oh, this is just like this game, but it's...
What game?
Like, repetitive in my mind.
What game?
I don't know.
Is it the Citadel's model where we all count down?
No.
Well, because there's certain models you see come up.
Is it all the dice rollers?
It just seems like it's the same game. They just kind of change.
They just throw a new...
Different
names. Slap a new theme on it.
I don't know, like Munchkin?
No, Munchkin. Yeah, you don't. And there's a ton of different Munchkin games.
Hate Munchkin.
Now tell us why. You got a good reason why you hate it.
Because it happens. It doesn't matter who you play with, how smart you are with the game. It always comes down to nobody really touches each other the entire game until like two people, three people get to level 9, and you have to get to level 10 to win. Someone drops a big card, and like, oh, I'm gonna win. Then everybody throws all their cards on the next few people. And then there's that one person who's just quietly sitting there and say, oh, here, I played this. Like, oh, this is a really easy monster, I win. Every single time. Without fail. And I don't find that very fun.
So would you say Munchkin is overdone?
Yeah, I would.
Because there's a lot
like a million different kinds of Munchkin games. They've got superhero, pirates.
If you want to talk about like the greatest overdone game ever.
Yahtzee.
No, Monopoly.
Yahtzee.
Monopoly's been
they already got like 10 Yahtzees over at Shuffle.
They just keep putting themes.
Yeah, they're just.
I'm sure they have like 100 Monopolies.
They have a lot of Monopoly.
They need to pare down Monopoly to like.
And the thing about Monopoly is it's always the same game.
Yep.
It's always the
different look.
No, it's not. They have different little pieces.
Yeah, just
the game plays the same basically.
Oh, if we were on the superiority complex.
What happened? Would you be swearing right now?
Yeah,
it's hard because you know board games are like anything else. They're subject to what's popular right now.
Yeah.
Now what I'm seeing right now, for a little while there was a lot of pirate games. For a little while there was a lot of zombie games.
I'm okay with the pirate games.
I was gonna say there was a lot of space games, but it could be just our group keeps.
There's always
space
just a lot
games.
Of sci-fi. Games.
There's always a lot of sci-fi games. It's a good. It's a theme that works because you can do a lot of different things with it.
That's true.
It just opens.
It's
up
very
to
open.
Everything.
But my theme, like, I wish they would do more, like, all the games that we have that are set in the Old West, we love.
Yep.
We love Colt Express. We love Flick 'em Up. We love Bang the Dice game was, like, that was our go-to when you guys first came in.
I would even put Ticket to Ride kind of in that same category.
Yeah. I like the Western theme.
Western Expanse.
Yeah.
They're fun.
That's a theme I don't get tired of. It's not that I get tired of zombie games or Cthulhu games, but everything comes out with that version. Like everything adds a Cthulhu version or like a
zombie Cthulhu Munchkin. Monopoly. Cthulhu Munchkin.
Mm-hmm. Those have all been done, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cthulhu
Monopoly.
Well, it's called
that would actually be kind of cool.
Lovecraft it's actually Monopoly?
I think it's called The Doom That Came to Atlantic City. It was like a knockoff. I think they got sued, but they carried it at Shuffle and Cut for a while.
That's terrible.
Shovel and Cut is, of course, our friendly local game shop. Available for all your gaming needs. Stop in and try a demo.
And, you know, spend some time.
Say hi to Matt.
Is that it? That's all we had today? This is a short show.
I mean, you can invite them to play with us, too.
Yeah, come on. No, do not come on now.
No.
But go buy games.
We are a close-knit group.
Say our... What's our sign-off?
Play more games.
Oh, I have it.
What?
What do you got?
Justine's got it. She wrote it down.
Yeah, I thought of it.
May the dice be with you.
May the dice be with you.
Now, did you think of one?
Do we have a new one now?
Is it dice to meet
you? It's going
to
take... It's gonna dice to meet.
Go touch your deck.
This is a family show. We can't do that.
I just stick little things and then I just kind of keep it on my phone until I wait.
We cannot do that. This is a family show.
Don't touch
show.
My deck.
Just like an endless list of like
dirty
nerd innuendos or like board game innuendos.
That's right. I love it. Oh, that's good. Well, I guess we're gonna cut this one
short.
Don't
blow your dice.
May the dice be with you.
It's a brief one.
We had a lot of reviews, though. I like when we review
games.
We
covered a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I feel accomplished. I feel like, you know.
I'd say from the
We have one of those.
Is there anything on your... Oh, you know what? What's your wish list? Is there anything you guys are looking to buy that is out right now?
Surprise.
Kingdom Death Monster.
I already bought.
What'd you say?
Kingdom Death Monster.
Get out of here. Just leave.
I want it.
You can't get into this again.
I need it.
No, I bought Perlock Holmes because I think that's the next one we're going to play.
Broken Rules.
But, you know, house rule it. It's fine. It was a lot of fun.
Needed a little more playtesting. I love it, though.
Yeah.
Broken Rules was that Mask game.
Mask?
The Luchador.
Oh, Mask Man.
No,
yeah, we're going to talk about that.
I still really want
we're not
that
playing
game.
That.
I know. We're going to talk about that.
We're not playing
can't
that.
Can't play it.
Nope.
We're going to talk about
never
it.
Never again.
Did you find out how to play it?
Nope.
Yeah, no. Well, nobody.
If anyone knows how to play the game Mask Man, please reach us at superioritycomplexshow@gmail.com.
We would love to love it.
We think it's really, really pretty.
Reach out on Twitter. At Soup Complex.
But I don't understand what it's saying.
There are actually a few things on my list. There are RPGs, though.
Go.
One's called Cult. And it's...
Funny how Jake wants to join a cult.
No? I shaved my beard, now I want to join a cult. Didn't tell you?
Cult, what else?
Cult's basically just dives into the, like, occult and supernatural stuff. It has, like, a really...
No, he said, what else?
Horrifying, like, dark art style. And then there's what's called The Veil, which is a... It's like a...
Are you a ghost?
It's almost like a ghost in the shell. esque sort of look to it. It's like futuristic, it's like sci-fi.
I love it. What else you got?
That's it, right? That's it right now. I haven't seen much in the board game department.
I want Sagrada. That was just beautiful and fun.
Now, why haven't you bought her yet, Patrick?
I just bought her Kodama.
Buy her things.
I spent all this money on her.
Do your job.
And what do I get in return? Love and affection? That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you owe me Sagrada now.
Shit.
Not even that. You didn't even get that.
Nope.
She doesn't even look at you.
She doesn't love me.
All right. I want to get Yokohama, man. I want that game so bad.
How much is it? We look at it every week.
It's like $60.
Which game?
Yeah, it's called Yokohama. We would not play it at game night.
No, it doesn't.
That is a game for me and my wife.
There's a new one that's Honshu, right?
Honshu, that's the one we got. Honshu.
Yeah, we played it. It was fantastic. Honshu. It's just we didn't do it right.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Yeah, Honshu. They're all names after cities in Japan.
Love me those Asian games.
Although Honshu is an island, I believe.
I got that yellow board game fever.
Okay, so for Jake Willard... That's how you always end.
Yeah, when I get
for Jake Willard,
for Jalake,
yeah, for Jalake. Patrick, make I forgot McCain. What I used to say yours, McCain.
Uh huh. And for
Justin,
and for Justine Normandy and Mario. This transmission is out.
Ends now. What the hell?
Wrong podcast.
Oh, made a dice be with you.